Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, August 3rd, 2022. I'm Doug Hagman. I'm the host of the Hagman Report. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in, for your belief and your trust in this platform, and for everything that we do. The mini conference fundraiser, which is still going on, obviously, the PDF file is still being tweaked, worked on, and that'll be out here within the next 48 hours, I believe. Is that right, Eric the Tech? It's supposed to be out today. But because of additional information that came in, we're talking like over the weekend. I was notified of this yesterday. Are we looking at perhaps Friday, roughly? Probably. Okay, so Friday. Just hang loose for the PDF. And there will be more in addition to what you've already gotten. This is going to be perhaps one of the most comprehensive and sequential conferences you've ever seen, with assets, with pictures, with additional reports coming in to you. So make sure you sign in. I had aired yesterday when I said Wednesday for the PDF. So we're going to go for Friday. So just hang loose. There's three videos there now. There's additional information coming in the form of the PDF. Like I said, the PDF is huge and connects a lot of the dots. And it has a lot of reporting in that PDF. We want to make sure that's 100%. So Friday, give us to Friday, on or about Friday. And then after that will be my report that deals with the things that Russ, his team, myself worked on, and connects back to the artifacts that you're seeing that were shown actually in the post-produced videos by Eric the Tech. So it's all good. And well, I want to thank you for your support, because that gives us, number one, the ability to continue this platform. And second of all, it gives Steve the ability to continue the expeditions, to get additional information, and to process that information. All right. A lot of news to get into. Interesting note today. You know, I mentioned yesterday, Ayman al-Zawahiri was droned. I think it was yesterday or the day before. It had to be yesterday. That Ayman al-Zawahiri was met with a drone, reportedly. Well, the Sun, the UK Sun, is reporting that he died of asthma. Okay, take that for what it's worth. The left are gunning, pardon the pun, for Smith and Wesson. The left are gunning for your guns. I make no apologies for that pun. The domestic terrorist on the domestic terrorist front, FBI whistleblower leaks Bureau's domestic terrorism symbols guide on militia violent extremists, or MVE, citing Ashley Babbitt as MVE martyr. This by Project Veritas. We're going to be getting into that. This is extremely important, because the narrative that they are creating, and this ties into something I want to get into heavily, this ties into shutting down all of the independent media platforms, discrediting them and shutting them down, while leaving some controlled opposition. And I will explain what controlled opposition means, or should mean, or you should understand what it means, because there are various varied definitions of that. Talking about gun control as well. and of course the elections. Elections in a number of states yesterday, including Arizona, where Carrie Lake wins in Arizona. And that was an important election, as a matter of fact. The cheating is still there. And then, of course, we have connected with the FBI's whistleblower leaks, the domestic terrorism symbols guide, the definitions. In tandem with that, we have something that will impact all of us, as I mentioned earlier. And that's the Alex Jones Sandy Hook trial. I want to get into that a little bit deeper. Now, Alex, folks, I'll tell you this. I consider Alex Jones a friend. I consider him a good guy. And he will be coming on this platform. I just don't know when. Because he's right now in trial in Austin. But he wrote a book about the Great Reset, and he'll be talking to us about that. So he will be coming on the Hagmann Report. Just don't know when, working that out as we speak. With me right now is Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor at HagmannReport.com. That's how to get a hold of him. You can follow him on the likes of Twitter at Randy Taylor, of course. But you can communicate with him by way of email, randytaylor@hagmannreport.com, or Twitter, or just leave a comment at Rumble, Brighteon, or one of the platforms that we have. Randy, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing today, buddy?
You know, I'm a little upset. Excuse me. I'm a little bit upset at what I see taking place, especially with respect to the fact that you and I, free speech, platforms like this, and in particular, mm-hmm. Alex Jones is under attack right now. And it's not the way people think. I spent a lot of time watching the live feed yesterday of Alex Jones's testimony. I spent a lot of time watching this Sandy Hook trial, as they refer to it, and getting the backstory on it. And what bothers me, aside from the persecution of the man, And people might say, well, wait a second, he deserves it because he said kids didn't die. Folks, you don't know what he said. Show me a clip. Show me a video clip of that. Go ahead. Show me. I want to see it. There are none. The way this trial came about, we need to talk about, because you can find yourself in that position. And especially in tandem with the FBI's reclassification of what domestic terrorist is, and even connecting symbology with that, we collectively, the patriots, Christian conservatives, have a problem. Randy Taylor, you agree with that? I mean, we have a problem as being identified as domestic terrorists?
Yeah, I've had a problem with it since back in 2008, 2009, when the state of Missouri decided to call us terrorists.
That's right.
I sent a couple things to you and Eric from back. It was that MIAC report that got everybody so upset. Actually caused some resignations. People were even that upset in the Department of Homeland Security there in Missouri that they resigned shortly thereafter. They did not agree what was put up.
You know,
we've been labeled, we've been marked, we've been blackballed. They're coming for us. What's going on with Alex Jones? It's just a drop in the hat of what's going to happen. As Doug said, it sets a precedent. That's a dangerous, dangerous precedent. It's a slippery slope.
Well, I am so glad you sent these documents. In fact, let's put up the MIAC report, the Modern Militia Movement. This would be...
You'll see some of the symbols on there that you're referring to in the FBI report, modifications of that. It's almost as if they're using that for a template.
You know,
just at a glance, I'm saying they're using it for a template.
Okay. And I agree with you on this. I'm sending it to Eric, the tech. He didn't get your copy. It went to the wrong address, but that's all right. He'll get it here shortly. But that's a good that's a good catch on the Mayak report from 2009.
As soon as you sent the broadcast summary this morning, that's the first thing I clicked in my head when I opened it up and saw the paperwork there at the bottom. That was like, this is almost like looking at the Mayak report,
right?
Which was startling. Which really that went back to Paul. What's his name? Rand Paul, his daddy.
Oh, Ron Paul.
Ron Paul. Yeah, because Ron was pretty a constitutionalist.
Right.
I thought, if you asked me to describe him in one word, I just did it. Constitutionalist. And anytime that he would speak up, they labeled him.
Yes.
And you would have thought Ron Paul was the Grand Dragon or something, you know, the way they were treating him. And we couldn't believe, I thought it was irresponsible of the state of Missouri to put that out when they did, personally, because I thought, bearing in mind now over the years, I've had friends in law enforcement, I honestly expected police officers to get killed over it. I really did, because it took a normal traffic stop and turned it into a very, very, very high risk stop if the police officer was going to enter into it with any kind of attitude that may have been suggested by the reports that were given to him.
Right, right. Now,
It got scary there for a while.
It most certainly did. Let me pull this up here, because there are actually two reports, folks listening on the radio. One, one MIAC strategic report is dated November 28th, 2008. That's what's on the screen right now, and it's titled Anarchist Movement.
Yes,
okay. And it's interesting because I'll just read the first paragraph. This strategic report analyzes the anarchist movement and related anarchist activities. The majority of this information is open source, can be located in many anarchy-related websites, and so on. Okay, the history, of course, goes back into, without getting into the history, because it does get a little bit dry in there. But this was
far fetched.
Yes. Yes. And
it was this was an exaggeration of anything that they had.
Correct. And look, you can, if you scroll down to, let me see, this would be one, two, the third page, at the bottom of the third page, Eric the Tech, you'll notice after eco-anarchism, anarchism. Yeah, I got this. Christian anarchism. Okay, now this is kind of like the first time this was focused in this fashion by any kind of law enforcement agency. Isn't that correct? I mean, roughly.
Yeah, I would say, according to any data that I have, yes. It's the first time they actually went out and called out Christians.
Right.
I mean, that is a dangerous, dangerous step, what they did there. And it needs to be acknowledged. People need to understand that even this ideology is floating around in the government. And the people that work for Missouri DHS that put this out, I guarantee you some of those are probably working in the federal DHS now.
I wouldn't doubt it. You're probably right.
Because the smell is still there. You know, the trail. I mean, look at this. Look at the symbols. Look at the signs. This is feeding off of that back in 2008, 2009.
Exactly. And I find it very interesting, too. You've got the definition of Christian anarchism is the belief that there's only one source of authority to which Christians are ultimately answerable, the authority of God as embodied in the teachings of Jesus. But then it goes on to indicate that, hey, you could oppose, for example, war or other, and I quote, statist aggression through nonviolent tax resistance and be a terrorist in this or anarchist in this report, which preceded the 09 MIAC report. So this kind of set the stage in 08. Yeah, who's responsible for this, though?
I would go and say Barack Hussein Obama.
Okay.
All right. Persecution. He's been persecuting Christians since we first saw that thing, whatever he is.
Okay.
I honestly think he is a product of Satan.
I don't doubt that whatsoever.
Absolutely. He's spoken before about, taking some lives, for the betterment of all mankind and this and that. The guy is garbage. Look at who his mentors were.
Well, yeah. And
we made him a president. What the hell were we thinking? When does the stupidity end? When does it stop?
Obviously, it doesn't. It's continuing today.
It would be different if they said, hey, this guy was with the Weather Underground or a mentor, the Bill, whatever his name was.
Bill Ayers.
And he has since reformed, but he hasn't. That just merely was grooming him for what he's doing now, which is doing away with Christians.
Keep it up, brother. Keep
Ezekiel
keep
and Revelation. Keep you knew they were coming for us. They're coming for us. They are coming for us Christians. I'm not speaking generically. When it starts coming out in public form like this, you need to be concerned. This is public. This is from the FBI. We know that they're corrupt and they're garbage, but unfortunately, they're still the premier law enforcement agency of the United whatever we are. This is serious business, people.
And this is 14 years old.
This right here, yes, and that's the scary part. They're feeding on this. I guarantee, and what we see is just a glimpse. I guarantee there's files, rooms, and hundreds and probably even thousands of people dedicated to coming up with ways to destroy and dismantle Christianity in the United States. It's a project of theirs. You think they're really wound up about abortion? That's nothing. You wouldn't have a debate about abortion without Christians. Gee, Christians must be the problem.
I've noticed an uptick on that on Twitter, the attacks on social media as well.
Our government is picking out Christians. This is a country that was founded on Christianity.
Yes.
Now it's a country where the people in the country are being persecuted for Christianity, for having morals, for saying, hey, that's not a girl, it's a guy. For actually speaking up and saying killing babies is wrong. It doesn't even take a Christian to figure that out. A regular person should know that killing babies is wrong. But it's the Christians that speak out, so it's the Christians that will be targeted. It's the Christians that one day are going to be sitting in the middle of an arena fighting lions while the crowds cheer and laugh while we're murdered.
Randy Taylor on fire today, and I love it.
I'm pissed.
No, I am too. Let's go to the second report, the Mayak Strategic Report, the Modern Militia. No, you know what? You keep it up. I love it because this is a Randy Taylor I know. Okay, this is a fire in the belly, which we all need to have.
I'm ready to just meet him out in a damn field. Let's get this done.
Let's do it.
That's just where it's coming to.
It is.
If I die in the glory of my Lord, then I die in the glory of my Lord. And if you want to say, well, he was an evil, evil Christian, then you say that. Okay. I don't answer to you. I answer to the man, the high almighty. His name is God. Might want to get to know him. Because if you screw with me, you're going to meet him.
I love
it. Pissed people. I'm pissed. I thought this Mayak thing had gone. I honestly, to see this come up through the channels is so U.S. government.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think you were the one that initially found this.
Yes, sir.
Unaccredited.
I had a buddy in Missouri. I'm not going to give his name out or anything, but he made sure that I got a copy of it before it was even published. And like I said, it led to resignations and all. they weren't forced resignations. They were people who were tired of being labeled as an anarchist. You got to understand, Missouri DHS, there's Christians that work in that outfit. How do you think they felt when you put it out? Of course they would have resigned. I would have resigned. I would have resigned much more verbally. There would have been quite a statement. CNN and Fox would have seen my face. Because that is wrong. But that right there is singling out the decent people in this planet. It's not singling out the people that are robbing. I watched a video today with four or five little turds kicking the crap out of this 81-year-old Asian lady. Kicking her in the head. What is it with, and listen, what is it with the black youth about kicking people in the head? What is it? Everyone you see a video where they're pulling somebody out of a car, they have to kick them in the head. They need making the kicking in the head itself such a severe crime that it puts you away for life in an assault like that. I'm not talking about a regular fist fight and you end up having to kick somebody in the head. And I'll tell you right now, I've been in a lot of fights in my life. I've been in a lot of situations, okay? I never once did I kick somebody in the head.
Yeah, I don't ever remember.
I don't. I go back and I think about all my physical altercations, everything where I had jobs where I had to put hands on people every day. And I never once aimed for their head with my foot. I'm just going to come out and say it, folks. The black thugs. Okay. And this is what we're seeing more than anything in the New York City cameras. Okay, they got cameras everywhere. And we're certainly seeing the crimes. They have run rampant and they've come right out and said, we don't care what's the problem. They're not going to do anything to us. They're not going to do anything to us. You just handed them complete permission from the state and from the city to go kill people. And did you ever stop and think that maybe that's what they want?
Well,
let's go back to the Civil War and the rebuilding afterwards that one of our loyal listeners is putting a book out on.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. Somebody in our government didn't forget that piece of history. They remembered that one because they're reenacting it. They've implemented it. When you've got DAs that absolutely refuse to file charges on somebody because of their color, you are opening a can of worms that you don't want to open. Because what you just said to all the white people and Hispanics and Chinese, every other race, is if these black people come after you, you're on your own. Now, what kind of message does that send to the public? It's a lock and load message is what it is. You just said, I'm on my own? No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Randy Taylor, folks, on fire, and I'm glad he is because...
Now, you don't want to get me pissed off, though. You get mad at you. You'd rather have God mad at you.
I'm telling you, he can put the hurt on you. That's for sure. But, okay, so if we can put the MIAC report up from 2009, this is so important because this is the undergirding of the current. The current.
And did you know? And you notice the symbols, right?
Yeah.
The colored symbols. Yeah.
Yes.
So don't tell me these aren't related.
Well, as a matter of fact, why don't you, okay, so this MIAC report was issued in 2009, and if you scroll down to, it would be page, oh my goodness, page four, the top of page four, I believe it is, yes, this shows the North American Union map of highways, okay, now, this, of course, was determined to be conspiracy theory. It's not. And the fact that we have actual roadways connecting Mexico to Canada by way of the United States is there. We have these specific trade corridors already established. That's been proven to be a fact. If you scroll down even more, you'll find, let's see here.
I'll go one further. They're using those highways right there to pick up illegals in Texas, and they're shipping them straight to the northern borders.
Yes.
I want you to know that. Thank you. We're getting reports out of Canada that droves of Mexicans are hitting the border up there. Droves. And guess who's bringing them? The U.S.
Yes.
is transporting them to the border. There's certain places you can cut, and trust me, you can get in and out of Canada and U.S. if you want to. Okay. But there's certain pathways that are already established for illegals. And here's the sad part. The United States is crapping all over Canada right now.
That's true. I know you've been telling us about that.
And here's the thing. The Canadians are like, bring them.
Yeah.
They don't have the infrastructure for it. It's nuts. I'm up there off and on. I'm telling you. And what I see every time I go, Doug, makes me want to vomit. Because this come one, come all is going to be Justin Trudeau's downfall. Between that and his COVID restrictions, that boy's done. Stick a fork in him. He's about done. He's even pissed off the Liberals in Canada. How do you do that? How do you piss off a Liberal besides trying to use logic and stuff, you know, but besides the normal stuff?
But would the new boss be the same as the old boss, though? That's my question.
Basically, anymore.
Yeah.
I'm convinced they're all the same.
Okay.
I sit there and I watch these rhinos that are on there, are pro Pelosi. I'd be like, I hope her plane gets shot down.
Okay.
Sorry. I shouldn't have said
that. You know what? No, I mean,
I shouldn't have said that. Never mind.
Old Paul, her husband, you know, poor guy, has arrangement by himself. No,
well, he wasn't just drunk. Back. He had some other chemicals in his system,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, unidentified drug substance. Now, how can you have an unidentified drug in your system, okay? Don't tell me.
Because your name's Pelosi.
Pelosi, okay. Yeah. I've never seen that. Ever.
If I was a cop locking him up on a DUI, I would have had a blast that night.
I'm sure you would have. On that MIAC report, I just want to one more comment on this. Page 7 on that MIAC report is a page of symbols. And I have to say this. We had tried to get a coffee mug with the name of our the Hagman Report, and on the backside, the Gadsden flag. Don't tread on me. The companies refused to print the Gadsden flag. Okay, now think about that. And this is this goes back to 2009, folks. And this, so the various phrases you can see there, the various symbols, it's just so ridiculous. I am so glad you brought this out. But again, going back to 2009, and again, I ask you, who's behind this?
Mm-hmm.
This MIAC report. And I would say the same person as the last Obama in this case. Yes. And I think we decided that at the time this was published.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's out of the state of Missouri and all, but still, you got to understand these Department of Homeland Securities are all interlinked in each state.
Yes.
And Obama's reach. Here's the scary part. He's not the president anymore. He has more power than Joe Biden.
Well, yeah.
I don't care what anybody tells you. And until that anti-Christian is put in a position or a place to where he can no longer affect people, we are going to have problems. This man is an enemy of Christianity.
I agree. I totally
Barack
agree.
Barack Hussein Obama is a product of Satan. And if you say he's not, then I'm going to ask you to prove that to me. I'll wait. Yeah, you're going to be busy for a while trying to prove that one, okay? That piece of garbage he's part of their grand plan. He was a necessary part of their grand plan. And all of this, since 2001, has been a focused effort to reel the Middle Eastern countries in so that they will fall into a new world order, so that they will fall into lockstep. That's what the Arab Spring was about. to topple leaders that in no way, shape, or form would allow a government that wasn't a caliphate.
That's very true.
People, you need to understand that. I want you to just stop back, throw everything else away, push it off the table, shut the TV off, and stop and think about it. Everything since before 2001, I'll go all the way back to this. Probably I'm going to predate Kennedy on this, John F. Kennedy.
Okay.
This has been in the works for a long time. John F. Kennedy was exactly the one that was going to step on the CIA. John F. Kennedy, for a Democrat, was a good Democrat. Okay, because he had a sense of fair.
I would agree with that. He had a sense of fair.
Yep. There were things, and he wasn't afraid to speak up. He said he didn't want to get into the Vietnam War. Okay, he said advisors, send special forces advisors over there. He was murdered. John F. Kennedy was murdered for his beliefs. Well, listen, we stand a good chance of being murdered for our beliefs because they're coming for us. Oh, it's not a battalion marching down the street yet. But I'm telling you, and especially, do you notice the Billy Grahams kind of went away? The people, you know, they got these people like, the idea of a minister today is Joel Osteen.
Right.
Joel Osteen is a motivational speaker. He is not a preacher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He is not a preacher by no shape, definition. Blah, 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 blah. I don't care if he has a certificate, he ain't a preacher. Okay. He is a motivational speaker, and that's it. That is about as extreme a Christian as you're going to find publicly anymore. The Billy Grahams are gone. The Jack Van Impeys are gone. All these guys are gone that used to get out there and preach the gospel and made America strong, made Christians strong, held Christians accountable. We're asking to be accountable here because you're going to be accountable someday to your master. You might as well get a jump on it now. And like I said, when I meet my Lord, I intend to be in good favor with him. And I will have done everything I was supposed to have done.
Amen.
Exhausted everything that I exhausted. And whatever I did and whatever I do will be God blessed.
Amen. I agree with that. Eric the Tech wants to know if somebody slapped Ranger.
No, he was wandering around here a little while ago.
I mean, is that why you're on fire? Did somebody slap your dog?
No.
All right.
I'm just, listen, we got kids that we've got to, one day we're going to be gone, brother.
No. And
one day we're going to be
I've been thinking about that. You know, what are we going to do?
This is troubling me because I sit here and I think about my little girl and dad's not here to protect her.
Yep.
In a world that's out to get her because she's a Christian.
And she'll always be a little girl too.
Because she wouldn't kill her baby.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I can't leave it like it is, man.
You know, I wonder how many people, and a show of hands, even on Rumble or Brighton, how many people feel that way, do you think?
Just shoot me an email, please. I want to see thousands of emails tonight. Tomorrow. I want to see some emails that says I'm willing to protect my country, whatever it takes. And you know what? It's going to get down to the point if we're not. Well, I get a lot of people now, and I'll tell you the ones I love is when I get old ladies and tell me I'm 70 years old and I'm ready to die for the country. I'll go with you. I get emails like that, and you know what? I'll take them.
We probably get more 70-year-old ladies like that than 17-year-old young men.
Actually, yes. And the that fire that burns in the gut, I love it.
Yes.
Because you're going to have that to survive. We are getting in some dangerous territory. I don't know why I'm so wound about this today, but something tripped my trigger that says, you're running out of time here, buddy. You're running out of time. They're right now designing more things to crucify us, to bring us down. Your churches are going to get hurt financially. Like, there's going to be more lockdowns. Look at what the COVID lockdown did. They really went after churches. If you're not getting the idea that Christianity is under attack, how many times does somebody have to wing them? You know what? First time you hear a bullet wing past your head, you'll never forget that in your entire life.
That's true.
It's just got this magical noise that tells you that, you know what? You almost checked out, Scooter. Yeah. Well, guess what? They're aiming for you. And if you don't give a damn about yourself, that's one thing. I want you to stop and look at the people that normally sit across the table from you at dinner time. I want you to look at the little girl, the little boy, that wife who's been following you, supporting you, believes in you. They're targets. They're targets. They either want to stick them in a work gulag or they're going to murder them because there's a Christian.
And eat insects while they're in the work gulag.
Yeah. I want you to stop and think about that. Are you currently in a world that you're willing to leave your children? Are you in a world right now that you're currently willing to walk? If you had to close up shop right now and check out, are you cool with everything? I'm not. I'm not even close to being cool with everything. I'm not even in the ballpark.
Would this be happening, do you think, if President Trump would have gotten a second term? Do you think?
No, this would not be allowed. And I'm going to tell you right now, that everybody called him like he was going to be a dictator or something. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need a benevolent dictator. Maybe we need a Christian, patriotic, benevolent dictator. You know what? If you can show me one person publicly that's a politician that has verbally and shown through losing their ass on everything, other than President Trump, you tell me someone that's come out there and told me how much they love their country. Well, there's a lot of lip service. And I love the United States. And then they go hide. Trump went out there and laid his ass on the line. On the line. The man could have been golfing and goofing off. I mean, he's got billions of dollars. I personally would have taken the billions of dollars to rebuild the United States. But the point is, those are the kind of people that we need. We need people with guts, integrity, that love God and love this country. This country is a gift from God. That was the intention of this country. I honestly think that God created the United States as a weapon against evil. That's what I've always believed. I always believed that. And I'm sitting here and I'm watching the very thing. This is like somebody brings you, you got a birthday coming on. You said, crazy wish. I want a brand new Lamborghini. You wake up that morning, there's a Lamborghini sitting in the driveway. What do you do? And what do? You walk out there and you key it. You walk out there and you knock the windshield out, bust a mirror off, because that's what you're doing with your country.
That's true.
Somebody parked a country in your driveway. The United States of America said, here is a Christian nation. Govern yourselves accordingly.
But wait. Some of our founding fathers were deists, yes. You know, so, think about the Mayflower Compact. Think about what that enshrined. Think about all of the God-given rights enumerated by our founding fathers in the Constitution. They didn't say
there was some real genius. Yeah. There was some real genius in those documents, because those documents it has passed the test of time.
Yes.
That lets you know that it was God inspired, because men aren't that smart.
But the detractors will say, well, you know, think of the Second Amendment. They didn't ever envision AR-15s. They didn't have to, based on the language. But
everything's accordingly. Yeah, yes. Everything's according. It's inappropriate. I'm sorry. It's what's the word? Where this matches this.
It's consistent, relevant, whatever you want to call it.
Right, because back then they didn't have tanks either.
Right.
They didn't have jet airplanes that could lock in a GPS coordinate that they took during the census and blow my house off the face of the map.
But see, none of that technology really matters with the fundamental rights enshrined in the Constitution.
Thank you. It's tit for tat, and that's just the way it is. There it is. It's just like if they were talking about dishes back then, you're washing them by hand. Today, you have a dishwasher.
Exactly.
But the words, when you read these things, it's incredible. The genius that was put in there, the thought, the nights laying awake, trying to figure out how to word it. I respected those guys. I would have hung out with those guys. I would have died with those guys.
And yes, so many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, I think 57 were died destitute, you know, bankrupt. Yes.
They lost everything. But yeah. What did they lose it for? They lost it for the greatest cause, yep. The greatest gift that God could hand a multitude of people. Besides his son dying on the cross for their sins, he handed us another great gift. He called it the United States of America. He helped this poor little country struggling to take on the British Empire, yep, and kick their asses.
Amen.
So you want to tell me that's not God inspired?
People, I ain't telling you that.
People, wake up. And I want you to tell me that you're happy with the way things are and you're ready right now to go meet your maker and let your children and your grandchildren deal with, that's right, what we've created. We created this mess. A lot of it is we created it in absence. We created it not realizing. Now it's come to bear. It's full circle. It's dead in our faces now. We can't run from this anymore.
We succumb to the creature
days
conference.
Are running. Yes. Yeah, your days of running are over. Do you not realize what's going on with food? They are going to starve you to death. Here's how they starve you. They starve you into submission. Stop and think about it. If you're medical, they've already screwed up the medical. Okay, Obama blew that right out the door. Okay, you're paying more now. You're paying affordable health care, my butt. Okay, this was absolutely a catastrophe, what Obama did to our medical system with the insurance and all. Absolutely a catastrophe. And you look up north, on North America, they have socialized medicine, even worse. But here's the point, they're in charge of the medicine. Or they make the medicine so unattainable financially that basically they're in charge of the medicine. So when your food is controlled, your medicine is controlled, you've got people sniping you for firearms, man, you're under full assault. We are absolutely under attack. They can wave the flag and say, yeah, this is democratic. This is what we do. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. And I don't know where these idiot politicians keep coming up with in a democracy. Even Kamala Harris calls us a democracy. She's a vice president of the United States. And she calls us a democracy. It's a republic, you dangling. I just.
I love it.
Look at the whole thing, people. Look at. And why is Pelosi our number one anything? That piece of garbage. People, we have lost our way. We have that Dick Levine. So I saw somebody asked a question the other day. Was he a rear admiral? Somebody asked that. I lost it when I saw that. I was eating actually when I read that. I almost rear admiral. Was he a rear admiral by any chance? It was a lady asked that. Oh, that was pretty funny. But this, when you look at, see, here's the thing. I don't want to be like the other countries in the world. I want to be like the United States of America. I want to be like the country that was dreamt of. I want to be like the country that those documents portray. That's what I want to live in.
We are so far from that, aren't we?
We are, Doug, I don't, and the thing is, without some really severe actions, I don't know how to get back there. They have got to absolutely in 2022 this year, they've got to clean those houses out. And this, you know what? I hope it works. I'm not feeling really strong about it.
I don't have a good warm, fuzzy feeling about what's coming because up. I really don't.
And what scares me is if in December, we're sitting here looking at the same cast of characters.
Then
we
didn't
do any. Thank you. Then what? Yeah. It's the then what that keeps me awake at night. I know what I'm capable of doing. I know what you're capable of doing. I know what our listeners are capable of doing. I really don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
But you keep pushing, and you wish we were a bunch of Alex Joneses.
Well, okay.
You'll pray to have Alex Jones back.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And look at that man. That man has done nothing but warn us.
Yes.
He's done nothing but warn us. He is the Steve Emerson of politics. He's told us this is what's coming.
Steve,
I remember
Emerson.
Watching.
I love it.
Yeah, because Steve was always so far ahead of the game.
Yep.
Steve knew. He knew they were coming for us way back in the 90s when they hit the World Trade Center. He was preaching that. I've got the videos that I've met Steve personally. He's been in my home. He's a wonderful man. The man knew what he was talking about. He knows what he's talking about. And they ignored him.
They silenced him.
Yes. Yes. They made it almost impossible for the man to exist.
Right.
He had to be so careful. And he's to this day, he has to be so careful about what he says or he loses funding.
See, and that goes to self-censorship. That goes to everything that's wrong today.
Thank you. Now,
I want to build off of what you said, because I can't think of a better segue. Talking about God appointed, this was a great thing, because when you sent the MIAC reports, both of them, that laid the foundation for what Project Veritas uncovered, which is so critically important. And folks, look at this. If you haven't seen this, FBI Whistleblower Leaks Bureau's Domestic Terrorism Symbols Guide. There it is on your screen. This is by Project Veritas on militia violent extremists. Now, Randy Taylor, 2008, 2009, MIAC reports militia symbols, militia violent extremist domestic terrorist. Here we are in 2022. Look at what this is bringing out. This is an extension of that those very documents. Now they're saying, well, okay, Ashley Babbitt is a militia violent extremist martyr. And if you scroll down on there, you'll see some symbology. But by the way, this is law enforcement sensitive for FBI use only. Of course it is. And some of the symbology down there, gee, anything look familiar? Huh? Folks, all of these documents will be made available at HagmaReport.com. Yeah,
I'd put them on the site, all of them.
They're going to be. As a matter of fact,
but the correlation, folks, you got to follow the correlation on this.
Yes, really yes. Do. As a matter of fact, you know what, folks? We have a news section. Can we? Is it possible to put up the news section, Eric the Tech? That man is.
He rocks. Whatever. You know what? He is so awesome, man.
I'm proud to call him my son-in-law. I'm proud that I've met him and we've got a good relationship, good friendship.
And folks, if you haven't met Eric, when you meet him, he's got a twinkle in his eye. He always looks like he's up to something.
Oh, he is.
And he's up to good things. He's the hidden hero here. I'm telling you.
The twinkle in his eye. I'm not sure.
Look at it. I can fire you something in the middle of a show and he puts it on the screen. I mean, this man is awesome.
No, yeah, he is. So here's what we did, and here's what's coming up. We developed this section. Now, right, what you're seeing here, I write exclusively for Wisconsin Christian News. Some of these articles, most of them are from my monthly contributions to Wisconsin Christian News, but WCN gets them first. But what you're going to be seeing is on this section, Randy Taylor, you've got, I think, one article I resurrected from some time ago.
Resurrected.
I'm telling you,
Well, here's the thing, folks. You see how accurate we were back when.
Yes,
that's what's kind of freak you out.
Well, when so, I got the hard drive, plugged it in, and I was looking at some of the writings, your writings from back in, my goodness, in the aughts, okay? I'm thinking this is relevant today. Mm-hmm. All of this is. So.
And the thing is, we saw this coming. As soon as we saw Barack Hussein Obama, you know how we always talked about as an analyst, you look for anomalies? He's an anomaly.
Yeah.
Okay, he's what I call a crap stain on a piece of paper. All right, this guy looks like an unmade bed. All right, he's a mess. When they spring somebody on you out of nowhere, and a red flag should have went up, it did with Doug and I. And yeah. We picked this clown apart. And you go through anything that we wrote about him, and you tell me what isn't true. And those articles were put out before his little black butt ever set foot in that White House as a president. We already knew what he was up to and what he was all about. And I predicted the racial divide. I know that.
100%.
Because I'll tell you what, this man didn't come in there with just a little wedge. He came in with a wedge and a sledgehammer and widened that racial divide again. He managed in 8 years to take us back 50 as far as racism and racial equality in the United States. Okay. And listen, I think that I'll never say black slavery wasn't wrong. It was absolutely wrong. Okay. But we've always treated in my lifetime, I've always treated black people as equals. I've worked with black people. Some of my best friends are black guys. When I was in the military, I served with them. I had no problem with black people at all. Where I have a problem is with any race, that's black, Muslim, Chinese, any of them, that get pushed to the front of the line while the rest of us sit back and foot the bill. Okay? It's just like gay people. You want to be gay? Far out. You don't know what you're missing, but far out, you be gay. Okay? I don't need to hear about it.
Nor do I.
And I certainly don't need somebody wearing a dress, sporting a penis, talking to my children. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for the day when my little girl comes back out of the bathroom and says, "Daddy, there's a guy in there."
Oh, I don't want to. I'll tell you what. I'll sell tickets if that happens.
I'm serious. It'll make the news, folks.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt on my mind. I'll tell you that right now.
And then there's God's law and man's law. Hey, see where it falls.
Oh, my goodness. Folks, I got to tell you.
Let's talk about this Alex Jones.
Yeah, we've got to do this because this goes exactly.
This is critical.
You know, I was so like you. I was angry today. I don't know if my anger is spent and I'm just tired, but watching this unfold and so here's the bottom line with this, all right, with what this is all about, because many people have gotten it wrong or they don't even know what's going on. They don't know what. So here's the issue. Alex Jones, of course, InfoWars and many of his hosts, he was questioning what happened at Sandy Hook. All right. And to make a long story short, the plaintiffs, which represent the families, some of the families of the victims of Sandy Hook, the Sandy Hook shooting, school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, filed legal action against Alex Jones. Alex Jones was compelled to provide discoverable items. Discovery. In a civil trial, you are asked for items. And you are compelled by subpoena to provide the items. He provided more documentation than anyone can ever imagine. I mean, tens of thousands of documents, hours upon hours of show video. But what happened was this: YouTube, Google, and every place else on the planet deplatformed him. What was being asked for by this judge and another judge were the videos that Alex Jones could no longer get his hands on because they were expunged.
Oh.
Okay. They were gone. I mean, gone.
Oh.
Now.
Mysteriously.
No, no. I mean, they were deleted for violations.
Just regular deplat. Okay.
Okay. Just like ours. Okay. So in other words, if somebody would ask for a show from 2017, for example, that was on YouTube, that we didn't back up.
Unless he had archived it, he wouldn't have it.
Right. So if we didn't back it up, it wouldn't exist except in the back room of YouTube or Google or whatever. Okay. So again, this is what happened. They asked for these videos, which were gone. YouTube deleted them from and prevented any kind of access to Alex Jones.
The court case based on those videos?
In part, in large part, yes. But in part, yes, yes. Short answer is yes.
Now that's a critical question, yeah.
Okay, so now... Again, this is a civil trial. This is not a criminal trial. This is a civil trial. So the standards are different. This is in state court, Texas. The standards, state by state, they're different. Okay. Pennsylvania is different than Texas. So the judge, and this is important for people to understand. The judge said, okay, yeah, it's nice. Thanks for providing the tens of thousands of documents and such, but you didn't provide those videos that you didn't have and you can't get. So we are going to find you guilty of defamation. We're just going to decide now how much you owe the plaintiffs. Think about that for a second. We're going to find you guilty.
This is what a judge said.
Yes.
Really?
Two judges. But we're going to find you guilty by default for not cooperating with the discovery process. So we're going to find.
For something you couldn't produce anyway.
Correct. That's the sum and substance of it. Now, there are little nuances here and there, but that's the sum and substance of this whole thing. Okay.
Wow.
Now think about that. So So we're going to hold a trial to determine how much you owe the parents. You are guilty. And every single day, the judge says you're guilty to the jury and to an open court. You're guilty of the charges. We're here to decide how much you owe the plaintiffs. Oh, and you're not allowed to cite the First Amendment. Apologies normally in civil defamation trials are mitigating factors. In other words, they mitigate the damages. If you apologize, that's allowed to mitigate the damage. And folks, you understand that. Randy Taylor, did I make sense on that, right? I mean,
yeah,
you get that. The judge declared, not in this case. Apologies do not mitigate. And some other things.
So apologies not good enough.
No. So we're here now just to present evidence. By the way, you cannot cross-examine or you cannot... the bottom line is you really can't cross-examine the witnesses in the normal fashion. Okay. You can, I'll let Robert Barnes explain this. Okay. And you cannot talk about this trial, any aspect of this trial, to anyone outside of this courtroom. So, okay. To explain this much better than I ever could. And Randy Taylor, so I looked for, because I've been watching this, and Alex Jones was on the witness stand yesterday through the end of the session yesterday and today. Now, I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to be Alex's lawyer. I love the guy, but man, you know, he's his own guy, right? Wind him up, man, you know. So
let him go, baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to rein him in. But the judge and the opposition, the plaintiff lawyers, I have never seen such bad behavior. And I've been in plenty of courtrooms and state court and federal. I've been there. I've never seen such bad behavior by a judge, by condescending behavior to a defendant, by a judge, or by a plaintiff, the plaintiff's attorneys, than this case.
This case is supposed to be the unbiased judge, right?
Unbiased my patoot, okay? Yeah. Okay, so yeah. What I did was I looked for like a summation because they're record. Oh, by the way, there are cameras in the courtroom. It's being shown live. And this is why it matters to each one of you, okay? Because here is where we're at. What you saw, 2008-2009 MIAC report, the FBI whistleblower documents just now, this ties into the Alex Jones trial in such a this program to me, it's all fitting together because this impacts all of us. It relates to the militia, violent extremists that we spoke of. It relates to what we can and can't say, whether it be because one of the questions a juror asked, believe it or not, a prospective juror asked, which became a juror, is can we use the decision in this case and the essence of this case to question anyone who questions election integrity? Or can this case be used?
It's a valid question.
Okay, which, exactly. Okay, so if you think about this, think about the wide-ranging implications of this whole thing. And this, again, Alex Jones, to me, is a friend, and he's in trouble, and I ask you pray for him. But
he has laid his ass on the line for everyone.
Yeah.
Remember that. Remember that while you're sitting there drinking your coffee today.
But it's all of us who are, we're looking at our future here. So anyway, the bottom line was this. I went through all kinds of videos. There's three cameras in the courtroom. One, a courtroom camera that the judge controls essentially that gets, they don't keep the footage. You can't replay it. It's played live and then done, over and done. Then there's a camera, believe it or not, a camera. They're making a documentary.
Of the crucifixion of Alex Jones.
Yes, they're using this to make a documentary of this.
They're setting bad precedents here. This is what Doug said, folks. This is your future.
So okay,
they're going to beat you into submission.
So I was looking for some sort of, how can I even begin to explain what's going on? I found Viva Fry, of course. He's a Canadian lawyer, good guy. And Robert Barnes, they had a discussion on the 31st of July. And I want to play just a portion of this. And Randy Taylor, you can stop this at any time and say, hey, wait a second, we got to stop this. And comment where you see fit. It's a 20-minute explanation. It starts out talking about Alex Berenson, who's an social media influencer, how he is essentially controlled opposition and what that means. And it also talks about... they also talk about some other things, but we'll get to that as this goes through. But listen to this breakdown. Again, it starts out with Alex Berenson, and it kind of starts slow, but hang with us, and then...
Pay attention, people. Pay attention.
All of this is, like, critical. And this is the best 20-minute segment I could find to represent exactly what's going on, and it ends hard. So, but again, we can pause it as needed. Go ahead and if you don't mind, it would be
tell me what fact, item of discovery did Alex Jones hold back? I was like, do any of you know? What item of discovery did he not turn over that led to the default? None of them knew. New York Times reporter didn't know. None of them knew. And that's because it doesn't exist. As anybody watching the trial can see, they're like, okay, the plaintiffs have all of his videos. They have his internal, private, embarrassing emails. They have internal text messages. They have intimate details of all of his financial well-being and the well-being of the company. What was it he didn't turn over that required the extraordinary and extreme act of a default judgment depriving him of his constitutional right to trial by jury? Nobody can say. Nobody can identify.
I was trying to look it up just to find out myself because there's so many things about this. Even if Jones did not turn over discovery documents, even then, only exceptionally, I assume it's the same under the U.S. law, only exceptionally would the ultimate sanction be not just no defense or foreclosed from pleading, judgment by default. My question was this, two questions. Even in Canada, when you say foreclosed from pleading, the plaintiff still has to prove their case. They can't just say judgment by default. Prove your case, show your evidence. Did the plaintiffs ever do that, or did judge, whatever her name is, simply say foreclosed from pleading, so therefore here's your verdict?
Yeah, all of that. I mean, that's what Alex Berenson got wrong. He didn't know what the discovery was because he couldn't cite it like anyone else. He also didn't know what the legal theory is. The legal theory is not that Alex Jones said specifically false factual claims about specifically identified individuals. It's acknowledged in the trial that he never even named or referenced the individuals by name or by image ever. And that instead, their theory is people are starting to figure out when watching this horrifying trial unfold, this Kafka-esque trial in Travis County unfold, is that the theory is, as one of the jurors made clear, because the jurors are being allowed to ask questions, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Yeah. When we talked about the Jones case. One of the jurors said, can we use this against election deniers too?
Well, it was even worse. They said, is this an appropriate way to sanction, to sue,
stop election deniers? I mean, so you can see what the theory is. Have you voiced an opinion that the government disagrees with, that somebody feels emotionally offended by? And this is why Alex Berenson should have had his eyes wide open like Clockwork Orange. If he had been paying attention, he could be sued into oblivion based on the theory against Alex Jones. Here he is cheering on the very lead, not only cheering on the kind of censorship that he has previously opposed, but here he is cheering on a legal theory that could bankrupt him tomorrow. A legal theory that is, have you voiced an opinion? Number one. Number two, the government disagrees with. Number three, you knew it could offend certain groups of people that are within a zone of emotional danger, basically a legalized safe space. Well, they can sue you into oblivion now, even if they can't show any specific damages that you caused them.
Robert, what do the plaintiff's lawyers say wasn't turned over? I know it has to do with, I thought it had to do with correspondence.
It almost always is small stuff. So what would happen is they would, like, for example, normally what default judgment is someone doesn't show up. That's a default. It's almost supposed to be reserved for that. Why? Because, again, you have a constitutional right to trial by jury, and the courts are stripping you of that right when they issue a default judgment on any issue. So the courts are highly cognizant of this. This is why people who don't even show up and show up a year later get the default judgment set aside more often than not. It's for constitutional reasons. You can't do it.
But Robert, actually, just to pause you there. But even if the defendant doesn't show up, you don't get a rubber stamp verdict. You still have to show your evidence. If you say there's a deed of sale, I own that house, defendant doesn't show up, you still have to submit the evidence. And if you don't submit the evidence, a judge can still say, no, I'm not giving you the judgment because you didn't.
Completely. Typically what happens is if there's really an essential discovery item that they cannot get and that they can prove was existed and destroyed, then you get a factual inference about that discovery item, and that's it. It's limited to that. It's not a default. That's an absurd. You won't find any case out there in America's history that compares to the Alex Jones case, where you're talking about a defendant that sat for hundreds and hundreds of hours of depositions, almost everybody got deposed. The Jones himself was deposed again and again and again and again and again. He was even forced to be deposed after they defaulted him, which is like, what's the grounds to depose him when you've defaulted him? And then they sanctioned him $1 million for not immediately sitting for that deposition. I mean, it was just one nutty ruling after the next nutty ruling. These judges hate him. It's that simple. I mean, it's two judges that hate him because this is part of the bias of the professional class as a class. And they hate Jones. And Berenson reflected that prejudice perfectly. It's because his opinion is not based on facts. His opinion is not based on learned understanding of the law or the relevant applicable constitutional provisions. It's based on bias, bigotry, prejudice, and parochialism. And what he doesn't realize is if they can do it to Alex Jones, then they can do it to Alex Berenson. They can do it to anybody else because their legal theory is extraordinary. And what they've done is they've stripped him of his ability to present a defense. I'll give other examples as we transition to Alex Jones's case. In Texas law, an apology is mitigation of damages. under Texas law. We went through it a little bit on one of our live streams during the week. The judge told the jury exactly the opposite. Not only that, in order to seek punitive damages, you have to make a timely request under Texas law. To my knowledge, the plaintiffs never did. Yet somehow, punitive damages are back in the case. Yet somehow, Jones is not allowed to talk about his apology. In fact, what became clear is we're supposed to be having a trial just on damages. Damages is the plaintiffs get up and say, I heard Alex Jones say these things. It caused me this kind of emotional pain. Here's the proof of that emotional pain. Here's why I'm asking for X amount. That's all it is, because the punitive damages is separate. It's not part of this. It's part of this trial, but it's not part of this part of the jury trial. It has to be separated because they don't want one piece of evidence to inflame another piece of evidence. And so what they're doing is the plaintiffs are combining the two because they want the damages as emotional distress, because in Texas, punitive damages are capped at $3 million. So they want $150 million to be emotional distress damages, not punitive damages, because then they're not capped. And so so that's all that's supposed to be happening. Anybody who watched the trial this week heard almost none of that. Instead, the judge is allowing them, even though she's defaulted Alex Jones and this trial is supposed to be just on damages, she's allowing the plaintiffs to present their merits case as if that hasn't – well, but not allowing Jones to defend himself. And the reason is it's not only a show trial. It's literally a show trial. I was in the courtroom. The plaintiff's lawyer started hopping around like a bunny rabbit, going, Bobby Barnes, Bobby Barnes, Bobby Barnes. The guy's nuts. The guy's a loon. I got to put him on my straitjacket for Christmas list. So they are so obsessed. They had Owen Scheuer. Did you know Robert Barnes is here in the courtroom? I mean, these people are berserk. It tells you how much they obsess about the court of public opinion. But I was sitting there. I was stunned. I'd never seen this before. There are three movie cameras in the room. And not only are there three movie cameras, one of them is staring down the jury. This is literally made for movies. This is a show trial for a show, literally for a show. They are staging this trial for a show to be on Netflix or HBO, wherever it's going to be. I believe it's the Leaving Neverland production company that did a hit piece on Michael Jackson that they could get away with because he's dead. Now, how do they get away with it here? By presenting all of these things within the courtroom, they are completely immune. Now, let's say the judge allowed Alex Jones to present a defense on the merits. Then they have to include that in their movie. They don't have to, as long as it's not presented. So they have complete legal immunity for allowing the lies about Alex Jones from the courtroom to be repeated later on and cannot be sued because they're just republishing what was in court. That's why the judge is literally doing a show trial for a show.
And you know what? It makes so much more sense now in retrospect. Kierkegaard, life can only be lived forwards but understood backwards, where she asked Karpova, do you think this is a show trial? Do you think any part of this trial is a show trial?
Staged.
And it's a staged event, something along those lines. And It makes sense now because in her heart of hearts, she knows it's entirely staged, literally so, with the camp. But Robert, this is the question. What case against Jones was presented?
They're presenting kind of a mythical case. So they're presenting experts that aren't experts in things, like their fact-checking information expert was talking about how PolitiFact and Snopes are so reliable. I mean, you know, that CNN is a beacon of independence and integrity and independent journalism in America. This is what's being presented in the trial as evidence. And the goal is to say this is what a jury concluded. When the evidence was presented, liberal news is very reliable and trustworthy. Alex Jones and everybody else are all terrible, horrible liars. That's the whole point of this whole case, other than bankrupting Jones and trying to take him off the air. That's almost secondary. The goal is to script a broader narrative for a broader show to be utilized as future legal precedent and court of public opinion precedent going forward. And that's why the case, if Alex Berenson's eyes were open, would realize this case is very dangerous. And they pick Alex Jones and they pick Sandy Hook because nobody wants to defend Alex Jones or get involved in Sandy Hook. That's why they pick those. They always start off this way. When they want to make bad law and bad precedent and bad policy, they start with controversial targets that people with any degree of influence are scared and terrified and hide under their desks rather than publicly defend. And they're enraged. People like Berenson are enraged that people like me are defending it. That's why he has to call me scum. That's why he has to call me disgusting. That's why he has to threaten to sue me. All that did is remind me, hey, maybe I should double check whether Alex Berenson defrauded his donors. You know, if you're going to come at me, you better be ready to come at me. So the
one thing, though, the judgment by default came from the judge. It didn't go to a jury by default. Right. So no jury heard evidence. The judge basically said, I'm it's almost like I'm taking for granted all of the evidence such that you don't even have to present it. So
it is even allowing the plaintiffs to flagrantly violate Texas law. All of a sudden, apologies can't come in. All of a sudden, you do get punitive damages. All these things that you can't get under Texas law, given how the plaintiffs behaved in leading up to the case. So she's just gutting all of the laws, gutted the anti-SLAPP law, gutted all of it, gutted the constitutional requirement of colloquium. Because, I mean, you'll remember from the questions asked in the deposition that you covered, his questions, 90% of them, weren't about specific statements about Sandy Hook, about the parents. It was statements like, don't you recognize that questioning who committed the murder is, it could be offensive to people who are related to the victims? I was like, holy cow, you could criminalize the Kennedy assassination conspiracy theorist on these grounds. You could ban everybody, anybody who's in this a safe space. And they've expanded that space, by the way. There's people that have no relationship to the Sandy Hook families that are bringing suit in Connecticut. They have none. They're just FBI agents and or other agents who are there at the scene. So, I mean, that they're saying anybody who's emotionally damaged by your offensive opinion about a topic the government disagrees with you on. So that's their core theory. And
what
we saw all week.
And by the way, pause that for a second, if you don't mind. Okay, so he mentioned about an FBI agent.
Yeah.
Okay, FBI agent Bill Aldenberg is reportedly a plaintiff. John Durham's lead investigator is FBI agent William Aldenberg. Same guy? I think so.
Yeah.
Small family, small world. What do you think so far?
Well, I think the fact that they're conducting this trial in the manner that they're doing it makes it all BS. What happened to procedures? What happened to due process? This is all off the boards.
Oh, it's gone.
If they're charging or insinuating that Alex Jones did exactly what they're doing, which is basically he repeated someone else's opinion or observation, and they're blaming him for it. Am I correct on that?
Well, yeah.
Because they can't produce anything with him saying that directly.
That's correct. But what they're doing is they're saying if what they're attempting to do here through this, here's the bottom line, is that if you question whatever the government's narrative might be, then you can get sued in theory and obviously in practice here for civil damages, including
that's insane.
Yes, it is. Which is why everyone should be afraid of this.
Yeah, this is the definite definition of a kangaroo court.
Oh, yeah. This is
where patriots and conservative Christians, where we find ourselves jammed up all the time. Who do we plead our case to?
There you go.
Even when we have overwhelming evidence, nobody cares because you're opposing the government. Well, yeah, we're opposing the government. Yeah. Alex Jones isn't the only person that made those observations that he's in court for. We know that. Where are the other people? I mean, what's going on here? They're making a martyr out of Mr. Jones.
Yes, I agree.
This is nuts. And the desperation he must feel, that's where I hurt for him. The desperation he must feel on his stomach.
Well, okay, and I've got another video. Okay, so to his credit, this is a short one. To his credit, he showed up in court, and there was, oh my goodness, Law and Crime, by the way, are posting videos, but only the ones that embarrass or hold Jones in the bad light. But yesterday he showed up for court and actually shook the hand of the woman, the mother of one of the children who were killed, and apologized to her, and then apologized to the father who testified earlier in that day, And he went to shake the father's hand. The plaintiff attorney, one of the plaintiff's attorney, just went ballistic and said, no, this is not happening here. You're not going to do this here. And today, that same attorney wanted Jones to be held in contempt for being unresponsive to certain questions when he was attempting to answer and expand on the question, which, look, I agree. You're not supposed to do that. If you think back to the Johnny Depp trial, if anyone watched that.
How painful.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, so, but I'm going to show you this clip because, again, this is the treatment, the contempt by the judge. I'm not talking subtle or you know, under. I'm talking about the overt contempt by the judge.
This is blatant.
Yeah, and this is just one of many, 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 many situations. And again, law and crime, apparently they lead off with this kind of stuff. Go ahead and play this a short clip.
You're already under oath to tell the truth. You've already violated that oath twice today in just those two examples. It seems absurd to instruct you again that you must tell the truth while you testify. Yet here I am. You must tell the truth while you testify. This is not your show. You need to slow down and not take what you see as opportunities to further the message you're wanting to further.
Oh, and she went along.
Wow, that's
nothing. That was one of the lighter ones. She accused him of chewing gum when he had oral surgery. She said that he lied twice under oath, once because he said he was bankrupt. And she said, no, that's a lie. And he said, well, I filed bankruptcy. She said, it's not the same, basically. Filing bankruptcy and being bankrupt, not the same. So you lied under oath.
Well, that's funny. I know when I did it, it was. Call it what you want, lady.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but see, these are kangaroo courts, and this is what everybody's running into. You know, it's like Roger Stone, all these people. We're running into, you think you're going to get your day in court, and you're like, you know what, even an idiot can see this. But guess what? You're not going to get your day in court, not the way you ever imagined it.
And no one is coming to help you.
No, and that's it. And here's the question. Where do you turn from there?
Exactly.
Where do you turn from there? You can only pray so much. You know, I mean, they're pushing. We're that dog that's in the corner.
Yes.
Pay attention, people. Well, let's see some more of this. This is a travesty.
Can we pick up on Barnes? We'll play another, 3 minutes of Barnes, Viva Fry Barnes. Can we pick up where we left off on that? Okay. Yeah, watch this. It does get a little, well, yeah, go ahead.
Bad. We saw it. The other thing is they actually called what Alex Jones did altered clips, which is not the case. He's actually presenting clips that are unaltered on doc. Interpretation is that a clip, by definition, is altering the film. All they have presented the entire trial, by their definition, is altered clips because they won't allow the whole film to come in.
Yeah, and just to contextualize that for everybody watching, they wanted to play segments of episodes. And they said, well, if you play a clip, that's altering the video. And they said, that's not altering the video. I'm just playing an unaltered clip. Otherwise, what are we going to do? Play every entire video in its entirety because we can't play a clip for a specific section? And the judge wouldn't allow...
But that's what... It wouldn't allow the defense to present the... it allows the plaintiff to criticize Alex Jones for ever playing a clip while all they have done is played clips out of context. And they had said before trial, at least the understanding of defense counsel was, that they were going to get to play all the videos. And what do you mean by all the video? In other words, the whole segment on his discussion about Sandy Hook as a topic. So you don't take 30 seconds out of it. You don't take 2 minutes out of it. You look at the whole 7 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, 30 minutes, however long it is. She's not allowing that. Because, again, If that was presented, the film crew would have to reproduce it because they would no longer have judicial immunity extended to them because they would not have been fair, neutral reporting of what took place in court. That's the requirement for the immunity to apply. So by excluding that, she's allowing them to take and they're basically she's allowing the myth to be told as truth in court so it can be repeated forever. The myth being they're actually repeating this, that Alex Jones is solely responsible for anyone questioning Sandy Hook. Utterly false. That Alex Jones originated, initiated, instigated, and controlled what people believed about Sandy Hook. Utterly false. They're actually, I mean, here you had half the jury pool didn't know who Alex Jones was, but supposedly 75 million Americans don't think Sandy Hook happened because of Alex Jones.
Robert, I mean, if anybody...
It's a lie. It's a lie the judge is allowing to be told by the lying plaintiff's lawyers and the court because they want that lie repeated to the world forever. And Alex Berenson is happy to preach and propagate that lie, either because he's too lazy to do his job or because he's more of a deep state hack than he is a real independent researcher. That's why Robert Malone called him controlled opposition. For those folks out there, it's to put somebody in a space where you know some people are going to believe some dissident information and make sure it stays controlled what they believe. So, okay, let's say you have questions about COVID lockdowns and masks and vaccines. Go here and listen to Alex Berenson because he'll keep you on script when it comes to Ukraine. He'll keep you on script when it comes to ivermectin. He'll keep you on script when it comes to other dissident voices. He'll keep you on script when it says it's okay to censor Alex Jones. That's what controlled opposition means. And Berenson's living up to the label. But that's what all of them want to repeat a lie about Alex Jones. And the whole trial is a lie. The whole trial is just one big fat lie.
They have no understanding of the depth of this. And they conflate defending some of the bad things that Alex Jones said with defending
Alex Jones himself has been one of his harshest critics. He's apologized for it. He's gone on an apology tour. Now the court's not allowing the jury to hear that. They're not allowing the jury to hear how many times he apologized. To give an example, Owen Schroyer covered, after Megyn Kelly covered the story, Owen Schroyer did a very short bit, which was probably watched by 1,000 people live. The plaintiff's lawyers were pretending tens of millions watch Owen Schroyer live every 5 seconds. Owen might love that, but that's not the case. Most people don't know who Owen is. I think Owen's a great guy, but just that's his reality. Only a small number of people do. He has influence, but he doesn't have 10 millions of people watching live influence. All Owen did was Megyn Kelly covered it. Zero Hedge then ran an article raising all the old questions about Sandy Hook. And all Owen's point was is, see, by Megyn Kelly lying, Alex's understanding was that Sandy Hook was not going to be brought up. That's an Alex Jones, Megyn Kelly debate for another day. But Owen's point was Megyn Kelly, by bringing back up Sandy Hook, was going to have the effect of all the old conspiracy theories coming back. It wasn't going to lead to those theories going away. It was going to lead them coming up. And he used as an example, here's a Zero Hedge story making this debate. The plaintiff's lawyers tried to twist that into Owen Schroyer was trying to support the Sandy Hook conspiracy theories and attacking the families. Utterly false. They know it's utterly false. That's, by the way, here's another key to all this that didn't even become apparent to me until watching the trial. At the time, if anybody that's out there, history of Sandy Hook, conspiracy theories. The idea that Sandy Hook didn't happen started coming out as a conspiracy, as a theory, on the same day it happened because it was politicized so quickly. Two main reasons why that happened. One, in traumatic events that people feel personally connected to, even if they're not personally connected to. But everybody, there's a lot of people that are parents with young children who drop them off at elementary school every day in America. To see that happen is so traumatic, one of the most common responses to any kind of trauma of any kind is denial. And you're going to have a certain percentage of people who are going to convince themselves, this can't happen to my kid because this never happened. So that had nothing to do.
Okay, we're going to stop it right there. I would urge everyone to go and watch the entire show, HagmanReport.com. And by the way, the MIAC reports along with the recent Project Veritas link will be in the program notes as well. Appreciate you for bringing that forward. I can't believe that we're out of time. I appreciate the fire in your belly today. You carried the day. I appreciate that. Your passion.
Folks, thank you. And listen, we need your support. the folks that are supporting us now, please, $2, $3, whatever. We are running into hard times here. And one day when they've got Doug locked up and I need to post his bond, it'd be nice if the money's sitting there.
Amen, brother.
They're coming for us.
All right, folks, that'll do it for us. Have a great night.